Hey, it's a busy holiday week, and during this week, we are bringing you a look back at some of the most compelling stories and conversations we've covered for you in 2024. It's 24 in review.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
James Crumbley having his time in court. He is the father of Ethan Crumbley, his wife Jennifer Crumbley, already convicted on the four counts of involuntary manslaughter, and she's going to be getting her sentencing very, very soon. But they're different people, husband, wife, two different roles in the life of their son who executed his classmates at Oxford High School several years back. Joining me to discuss this new trial, Robin Dreeke, retired FBI special agent. What do you think is going to happen here? Are we going to see a carbon copy of what happened with Jennifer Crumbley, or is this going to be a very different approach considering what we saw and how it ended for Jennifer?
You know, boy, this is, as we've been talking about, Tony, this is such a tough case. I think at the onset, we might see a lot of similarities and parallels. But as you so eloquently just said, he is a different person. And his involvement in his son's life, I think, is what's really going to take center stage. And that's what, you know, we're going to go where the evidence goes on this one. I mean, it's hard not to imagine him having it turn out like his wife's case, just because, you know, if you're co-parenting, and that's why I think the real trial here will be, was it co-parenting? Were they equally involved in the son's life? Are they equally culpable for his behavior and knowledgeable about it? And I think that's what's going to be really showcased.
Well, I think some of the question is, you know, were they co-parenting equally, or should they have been co-parenting equally? And at the end of the day, does it really matter to a jury, more so of the were they or should they have been?
Yeah, and I agree. You know, are people, should they be locked up for that key word you were saying, should have done this, should have been co-parenting? Well, there's a lot of people out there that aren't, and yet they're not being thrown away in jail for the rest of their lives. And so that's the real question here. But it's at the heart of this one, I think, is the firearms issue and the laws surrounding it. And it's a sticky one, it looks like, just because in the state, as I read it, there wasn't a requirement to have the firearms locked up. But if you bring in reasonableness, and this is what's going to, the prosecution, I think, is going to really focus on, was it reasonable to have a firearm locked up, even though it might not be law, if you're aware of the mental health challenges your son's having? And I think the real crux of this for both these parents is how vocal their son was on wanting help. And they have those text messages, they have that narrative on him. And that was, you know, we talk about our behavior arcs. The son's behavior arc was he was seeking help. And reasonable people say he should have got it, or at least been knowledgeable, the parent should have been knowledgeable, and locked up, or at least not even purchased the firearm.
I think that that's the big crux of it. You're exactly right. Is this a reasonable expectation of a parent? Because we look at the mental health aspect of it, and you know, many of us are fairly well versed in it, and we can say, "Oh gosh, if someone came to me with these sort of problems, I would say yes, let's get you some help." Others may have grown up with a different narrative or have a different narrative in their life as adults, never really had a reason to be engrossed in that, or have had been touched by mental health problems where they would know the direction to even go. It's very stigmatized still in many communities with many people, with many families, lack of education on the topic, a big thing. So you have to take a look at it and go, is it reasonable for them to have understood that because of what their son was saying, that he needed some mental health help? And this wasn't a very cloaked message from the son to the kids. It wasn't as if he was, you know, really hiding it down and you're not really seeing it and he's always putting on a smile. Literally gave the parents a note saying, "Help me," with a illustration attached of executing his classmates. So is it reasonable for them to have made a choice to get him the help that he needed? I don't know how better it could have been spelled out for them even if you have no education in that world and you don't know much about mental health or therapies or anything like that or counseling, to realize maybe I should go in that direction.
I agree. I mean, he, as you're even describing it again, as every time we read this case, this is one of the most tragic cases I think we're going to cover.
Yeah.
Because everything failed. And it was, and so the path of destruction was all children, mm-hmm. you know, from him screaming for, literally screaming for help. Mm-hmm. I mean, when have we ever seen that in a case?
Sure.
Where someone was so self-aware enough to know, I need help. Please, please, please help. I mean, literally sounding like he's pleading for it, not yeah. getting it, and then killing all these kids.
Yeah.
It doesn't get more tragic than that.
No, it doesn't. I mean, anything that any therapist will ever tell any parent, especially when going through some sort of trauma, is going to be do what is best for the kids. Be there for the kids. Put the kids before you. Now, I understand that they were in a tough situation. It sounds like James Crumbly had recently lost his job. He was very depressed, and rightfully so. That's a human emotion. People can be there. But it sounds like he was really trying to make ends meet as best as he could. Maybe wasn't as present as he wanted to be, doing the DoorDash, I believe, and out quite a bit. But that's the thing. You need to be there for your kids and put them first. Yes, monetarily, you need to provide. You need to keep a roof over their head, feed them. But sometimes it's something I think that a lot of parents will miss and realize that, yeah, the kids still do come first. You may want to have that extra time doing this or that. And I don't know what else he was doing extracurricular-wise, James, but you have to be there for those kids emotionally, mentally. Otherwise, yes, you end up sometimes with kids like this that feel so disconnected from life, that feel so disconnected from family and any sort of support system. And if there's a mental illness underlying there, you get an Ethan Crumbly.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, the school system, the teachers, I mean, it's hard to think that this wasn't the only screaming he was doing for help. It was just to his parents. And so I think there's a lot here. And this is one of those cases that hindsight's not 20/20 or there was red flags we missed. Oh, no.
They were there.
This was screaming for help. And that's why it's, I think that's also why, you know, we were talking on, you know, previous episodes, you know, is this setting a bad precedence for parents being accountable for actions of their children? This is, I think, from what we've seen from other cases, this is a little bit more extreme and a little bit more in your face. These weren't red flags being missed. This was a scream for help that was ignored for whatever exasperating situations there might have been in personal life with finances or whatever it is, their own mental health issues. But it's hard not to help hold people accountable when someone is screaming, I'm going to do really, really bad things and I have a problem and I need help.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.